That was a great song. I could have just had Emery kept singing that over and over and over and over. You know, it's a special experience for me watching the lives of the people that I've known here for so many years. I remember when Amber was the girl singing here tonight, when she first started coming to the Rock. I think it was about 15 or 16 years ago. She didn't know the Lord, and God started working in her life. And saved her, changed her whole life, turned her whole life around. And then she and Mike got married, and then they couldn't have children for a long, long, long time. And actually looked like they could never have children. I'll never forget meeting with them at a restaurant, talking through some of the options they were considering and praying for them. And lo and behold, just a few months later, she got pregnant. It was really miraculous. And now she's expecting number two. I don't know if you know how hard it is to sing with a big old bowling ball in your stomach, but bless your heart, Amber. That was beautiful, and I love you. She's a very special place in my heart that had the chance to help lead her to Christ. You know, I also wanted to tell you a couple other little wonderful things tonight. There's a family that's been slowly moving all their family members over here, and I just wanted to tell you a little bit about the Geary family, although some of the girls are married. So some of you seen Jenny up here playing the guitar and singing. Well, she gave a shout out to all of her family. And so the next thing you know, her sister Amy moved here with her husband Brian, and they just had their first baby. And then her brother Danny moved here, and he's here tonight. And then Nate and Marina, her sister Marina, and they're here, and they're married. And then I just met their sister Heather, and I think we'll probably put a ball and chain on you tonight, Heather. You can't leave either. And then Shannon, some of you know Shannon Zernelt, she grew up with Jenny in Eau Claire, and so they're here. Wisconsin has been really good to us. Matt came from Wisconsin. How many of the rest of you came from Wisconsin? All right, forget the Packers. All I care about is you guys, okay? Jacob and Carl, that's right. Carl came, so, you know, I just want you Wisconsin folks to know you have a very special place in our heart. I love you just as much as Minnesotans, no difference to me. You're my brothers and sisters in Christ. But I just wanted to welcome Jenny, you and your whole family. It's just a joy to have you. I think next week we'll probably see Brian and Amy and the baby. And please, I want to encourage you to come next week and support. These are your little Rock babies too, by the way. There'll be a lot of little Rock children here next week and family members, and I'd love for them to have the chance to meet you and for you to all be out and support them because, you know, one of the things we do is as a family of believers, we try to help people, support them in raising their children for Jesus Christ. Sometimes you never know what a word of encouragement can do for a mom or dad when the week's been difficult or the week's been tough. And you got to remember, I've told you this before, I'm not making this up. It's us against the world out there, man. They do not share our values, they do not share our principles, and they do not share our passionate commitment to little children. I mean, lots of people say they love children. Don't get me wrong, a lot of people do. But there aren't many people in the world that are trying to do with their families what I know many of you are and some other believers throughout this city and this nation. So please be here if you can and support them. I also want to give a shout out tonight to Jamie and Tim. I heard they got engaged. At least I saw a ring on her finger tonight. So congratulations, you two. I just let the whole world know. And I tell you, you come here long enough, you're going to fall in love and get married and have children. That's just the way it goes, right, John? You have a big beard, too. You're trying to hide. I know you are. I see you there. Anyway, Tim and Jamie's story is pretty amazing, too, because if I'm not mistaken, Tim, was it last January you almost were dead? Was it January? Or was it a whole year ago? Okay, don't speak up. You're just sitting there real, real shy tonight. Anyway, our brother just one day just keeled over at work, and I got a call from the person he works with and said, I don't know if Tim's going to live. And no one knew what happened. It just his whole body just stopped. And Andy Cohen, Lauren, and Natasha, and your whole small group, all the singles, man, they rallied around. They were up at that hospital at Abbott Northwestern. Night and day and night and day for weeks and praying for his life. And I just woke up and had some wonderful medical care, and we're just so thankful for what God did. There's a lot of miracles that happen around here, by the way. A lot of answers to prayer. I was going to bring you what Micah wrote me. You've been praying for Micah in Guyana. This last week was unbelievable. He got in for a doctor visit, for a TB test, for the little girl they adopted, for the visa, and for one other thing. And the guy who's driving around, who's done 50 of these adoptions, said to him, I've never, ever, ever seen anyone get through this fast. This is unbelievable. I should have brought the letter. So thank you for praying, because it was pretty incredible. So he's going to be on a plane tomorrow morning with his little girl, fly to Miami, and then Sunday they arrive here. So I have a little granddaughter. Yeah. Okay, so let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and then we'll get into this tonight. Father, we just thank you tonight for the goodness of God in our lives. Every one of us, Lord, as Amber was singing that song tonight, Lord, I know from my heart, that's just my heart, Lord. I could just, if I had the strength and the capacity, stay here all night and talk about the goodness of God. How good you've been to us, Lord. How wonderful it is to know Jesus Christ. What a joy it is to experience the reality of God in our lives. To have this treasure in these broken bodies of ours, the eternal Son of God living inside of us. To know that we're loved and prized and treasured by God. To know that tonight you enjoy and delight in every single person here in this room. You love them. Passionately. You love, Lord, in fact, it's not like some flickering candle. It doesn't fade. It doesn't diminish with time. You don't get bored with us. It doesn't get old. Or you think, you know, I'm kind of done with you. I'm moving on. Your love is fresh every moment, every day. And I just bless you, Lord, today. I was out in the hall seeing Chris and Jenna Thompson, the new little baby Oliver, first little baby. And you just smile from ear to ear, these new parents. I mean, you can't stop. That's the way you are with us all the time. Whether we have a good day or whether we have a bad day, whether we thought everything right or we didn't think anything right, you love us. You love us. You have tremendous, strong feelings towards every single one of us. And Father, tonight, we just ask you, we want to learn to love like you love. We want to learn to be the expression of God to the other people in our lives, whether they're at work or the people that we live with, or our husband or wife, our children, our roommates, our Christian brothers and sisters. Lord, we just ask you, you would help us tonight. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I was thinking today, this would be another topic for another day, but let me ask you a question. How many of you here really like football? Anybody here really like football? Hey, there we go. One person. Way to go, girl. There's a few people here. Got a girl. Don't be ashamed. So you really enjoy watching football. You enjoy it? How many of you enjoy here hunting? Anybody here enjoy hunting? All right. You like killing stuff? Oh, I didn't mean to put it that way. You like hunting, okay? How many of you love to fish? You enjoy fishing? Okay, we got a few people. Gee. Anybody here enjoy Chipotle? All right, there we go. Common denominator. How many enjoy a good cup of some kind of coffee? There we go. You enjoy it, right? All right, so let me ask you a question. Are you enjoying Christianity today to the same degree? You think about that very often. Am I enjoying Christianity? Am I enjoying Christianity? Am I enjoying God? God's enjoying you. But a lot of times, is it not the case that we're sort of dragging ourselves thinking Christianity is such a burden? There's all this stuff that I'm supposed to do, and I'm never doing any of it. And I just feel like I'm under the pile all the time. You know, I'm going to talk about that sometime in the future, but I want to tell you something. There is nothing in the world genuinely more enjoyable than real Christianity. To enjoy this magnificent relationship with God. And sometimes, if I can be really honest, we miss out on what we could have and experience because of where our mind is. Because so much of Christianity is a state of belief. It's what's going on in our mind and in our heart. And this connection that we have with God, when we put ourselves and our mind and our thoughts on, think about this, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all our diseases. Excuse me, who heals all our diseases and pardons all of our sin. Who crowns our years with good things so our youth is renewed like the eagle. We often don't reflect on the benefits of God, on the benefits that we have in Jesus Christ. I know tonight some of you may be discouraged. You're going through some difficult things. But take some time later this weekend to reflect, on the joys that God's brought into your life and what's going to be yours forever and ever and ever. But also I want you to think about this. My wife and I were praying the other day, as is our habit, to pray together every day. And one of the things I was praying with her, and it was kind of emotional for me, as I was telling the Lord, Lord, thank you for not only saving me for eternity, but saving me right now today from Mark Darling. I don't know if you've stopped to think about very lately where your life would be if Jesus had not presently intervened in your life. I know a number of you here this evening. I know a number of your stories. Wow. You'd be in bad shape, wouldn't you? I mean, you'd be really bad. I have some dear friends here I love very much, be locked away for a long, long time. Had not Jesus intervened in their life and given them a second chance and a third chance and a 50th chance and just changed their life and transformed them? You know, I was sharing with you last week on the power of words, that the power of life and death is in the tongue. And before I came to Christ, even after I came to Christ, wow, if I would have just followed the trajectory that my mouth was taking me, I would have destroyed my own marriage. And I think about that every day. I sincerely do. This is one of the reasons why Christianity means so much to me. It's one of the sources of my passion. It's the best thing in my life, is Christ and what he's done for me. I think about I see my little grandchildren, are here tonight. Some of them, not all of them, some of them are sick. And when I see those little grandchildren, this is how my mind is trained. This is part of where my joy comes from. I look at those little grandchildren with tremendous sense of overwhelming gratitude because I realize that those little grandchildren would not be mine today had I continued the pattern of self-destructive garbage coming out of my life in the early years of my marriage. Kathy and I would have divorced. My children, had I had all four of them by then, might not even have lasted, certainly would not have been in this room. Celeste would not have met John, and I would not have those little grandchildren. Sometimes we don't connect the dots of what God has done in our lives. But he saved us from ourselves. Here's what I want to talk with you about tonight. In order to love like God, I want you to think about this. You must have a hunger to learn. You must have a passionate, eager hunger to learn. One of the great differences between us and God is this, okay? This is one of them. There are many. God has nothing to learn. God has never spoken a wrong word. God has never made an unwise decision. There has been no unloving word ever come out of the mouth of God. God knows all that needs to be known. But you and I have everything to learn. When we come to Christ, listen to me. When we come to Christ, there is nothing about us that's like God except we were made as image bearers of God. We're made in his likeness. We have the body, spirit, and soul. We're a triune being. And we're made to reflect God. But without God, we have no opportunity to reflect him. And when we come to Christ, we are like a little tiny baby, like the babies that you'll see next week, or you see some of the babes in their mother's arms here tonight. We're like that little baby, and we've got eyes and we've got ears, but we need to grow. But every child needs a parent, because left to themselves, they die. They do not grow. They do not learn. They need guidance. They need to learn. And if they don't learn, they're going to be in trouble. You and I do not love perfectly. We often speak unwisely. We have much to learn about wise speech, and we have many flaws. The other day, I was in my seeing my grandchildren briefly, and my daughter was showing me their little schoolroom. I hadn't seen it lately. And on the blackboard is this verse. You must remember this verse, because I'm going to talk about it tonight. To learn, you must want to be taught. To refuse to learn is stupid. The darlings, we kind of like direct Bible truth. That's from Proverbs 12:1 in the Living Bible. To learn, you must want to be taught. I want to ask you that question tonight. Do you want to be taught? When you get up every day, do you say to the Lord, Lord, teach me? Psalm 25, teach me your ways, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Teach me your ways, Lord. Do you want to learn? Do you want to learn? And I'm going to talk about what that means a little bit tonight. So I'd like to read you a couple passages of Scripture tonight, because unless, and I sincerely mean this, unless you embrace this attitude, then you're going to fail. And I'll tell you this right now, if you're a young married couple here, you've got tremendous potential, you've got tremendous possibilities, there's so much God can do, but if you do not have this attitude, I want to be taught, Lord, teach me, Lord, I want to learn, I'm eager to learn, I'm hungry to learn, if you don't have that, you're going to fail. Marriage is going to be a very, very, very difficult experience for you. Life, whether you're married or single, is going to be a very difficult experience. So listen to this. Listen to what the Scriptures tell us. This is Proverbs chapter 2. My son, listen to me and treasure my instructions. Tune your ear to wisdom and concentrate on understanding. Cry out for insight and understanding. Search for them as you would for lost money or hidden treasure. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord, and you will gain knowledge of God. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of good sense to the godly. Do you see that? Do you see the intensity of that? Cry out for insight. Search for understanding. Go after it like you would lost money or hidden treasure. Do you? You know, I haven't heard much about this lately, but for a while, you know, everybody was playing Pokemon Go, or some people do that geocache stuff. I mean, man, it's amazing how intense people will be about stuff that doesn't matter. Have you ever noticed that? It just doesn't matter. And it's okay. You go enjoy stuff. That's great. That's cool. But this really matters. This really matters. You've got to decide, as a choice of your will, I want to learn. I want to be taught. I want God to grow me. I want God to teach me. And then you've got to go after it. Let me show you this in Proverbs chapter 8. This is another passage I go over often. Scotty, if you could bring up these monitors a little bit, or Luke, I'd appreciate it. Luke chapter 8. Listen as wisdom calls out. Hear as understanding raises her voice. She stands on the hilltop and at the crossroads, at the entrance to the city. I call to you. I'm raising my voice to all people. How naive you are. Let me give you common sense. Oh, foolish ones, let me give you understanding. Listen to me, for I have excellent things to say. Everything I say is right, for I speak the truth, and I hate every kind of deception. My advice is wholesome and good. There's nothing crooked or twisted in it. My words are plain to anyone with understanding. Choose my instruction rather than silver, and knowledge over pure gold, for wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing can be compared with it. I love all who love me. Those who search for me will find me. Unending riches, honor, wealth, and justice are mine to distribute. My gifts are better than purest gold. Wow. First of all, here's something all of us have to be willing to admit. I'm a fool. That's kind of strong. Lord, without you, without your help, without your wisdom, without the guidance of your word, I am a fool. Now, you may be a rocket scientist. You might be a doctor. It's amazing how many highly educated people have no idea how to make their relationships work. Have you ever noticed that? You see, the word of God gives us a moral guidance. It gives us relational guidance. It gives us financial guidance. It gives us practical guidance in the areas of life that we need them most. If we listen, if we listen, I think how many children's lives could be saved from ruin and disaster first if their mom and dad were eager to learn from God, and then if mom and dad passed on to those children what they learned from God. Next week, by the way, I'm going to have a special message on nurturing your child's soul. So please come. Bring your friends if they have a family. Nurturing your child's soul. This is the most overlooked aspect of parenting. We feed them. We put clothes on them. But very few people have learned to successfully nurture that soul of a child so that soul of the child grows up to love God and listen to God. One of the things I just have to share with you that I admire most, I might admire this most about my wife, actually. Ever since I met Kathy, which was 40 years ago, I met her at this little conference, and shortly thereafter, we started writing letters, the old-fashioned kind. I don't really like to write those kind, but I thought, well, you know, if she's willing to write, I'd be willing to write. So we started to write, and I was just amazed at the things she would write in the letter. I still have them at home in a box. And once in a great while, I take them out and I read them. And she's just sharing me things she's learning from her church, from the Bible study that they had. She's sharing with me what she's reading in the scriptures. There is not a day that goes by that I don't see my wife sitting in a particular chair in our house with her Bible open, her journal over here, paper and a pen, and she's writing down. And there's hardly a day that goes by that she'll go, Mark, I want to share with you something I read today. This really encouraged me today. This really got me thinking today. I saw this in her as a young wife when she would sit with other ladies who had been married a little longer. She wanted to learn. I'll never forget when she got the book Creative Counterpart by Linda Dillo, and she just devoured it. Like, how can I become the kind of godly woman God wants me to be? She'd read the scripture. She'd hold on to passages. And she knew, Lord, I'm not perfect, but I want to learn. I want to learn. I want to learn. And personally, I feel like Kathy, I met a lot of people in my life, tens of thousands. It's the most gracious woman I've ever met in my life. She just kindness sort of oozes out of her. But as she grew in the Lord, she learned it. She learned to be kind. She learned to be thoughtful. And she learned to be kind to me when I didn't deserve it. She learned to be loving to me when I didn't deserve it. And I have the greatest admiration for that. It's just this longing of her soul, even though she's going to be 60 in February. She wants to learn. She's eager to learn. And she's right there sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. In fact, to be honest, it reminds me of Mary. See, Mary and Martha, you know the old story? Martha was serving. And there's a time to serve, ladies, by the way. But Kathy always maintained that Mary mentality. First priority is to sit at the feet of my Savior and sit with his book, and she'd have that book open. And I'm going to tell you something about my wife. I realize we have some gals here. Every lady's different, and there's nothing wrong with being different. My wife wasn't busy looking up the Greek. She wasn't busy looking up the Hebrew. She wasn't reading 25 different commentaries. She was simply, my wife is a very simple girl. If you ever meet her, talk to her, she's just a very simple lady. I'm reading my Bible in English, underlining verses that speak to me, and I'm asking God, illuminate your word to me, Lord. And then here's the big secret. This is very, very important. We are never to learn for the sake of knowing. We are to learn for the purpose of doing. We are to learn for the purpose of applying what God shows us to our lives, to our relationships, and the way we love and treat other people. And that was Kathy's secret. See, I got an interesting email this week. And I believe this brother would not mind if I share a little bit of it, because it was so incredibly humble of him. But he wrote, I had written him to thank you for doing something. He wrote me back. And he said, Mark, to be honest with you, he said, I'm in kind of a tough place lately. He said, you know, Mark, I've been coming to church and kind of tuning you out, because I've really been getting into Pastor so-and-so, who's a big-time Bible teacher. And man, I've just been devouring all this stuff, and I'm just listening and listening and listening and listening. But he said, you know what, Mark? I noticed my head's been getting really big. So he and I, we met for coffee this week. And I said, did you know that the Bible talks about that? Here's what it says. Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. If you're not learning from the Word of God how to love better, then you're in trouble. If you're not taking the Scripture in your life and living it, then you're in trouble. Now, I was sharing with my friend, and I'm going to share it with you tonight because I think it's very important. I should have wrote the email back, brought it so I could read it exactly, but I'm just going to try to paraphrase so you understand this. I recognize that there is an internet out there, and there's no longer just Chuck Swindoll or Back to the Bible broadcast, but there's 25 bazillion Mark Driscolls, John MacArthur, Francis Chan, Bobby Joe, Tommy, Freddie Prinze, we just go on and on and on and on. And so you get them on your little iPad or your little screen, and man, the presentation is so powerful, it's so profound, they look so great, the lights are just right, the production is there. But here's the question: do you know them? Do you know how they treat their wife? Do you know what their children are like? Do you know the reality of their living? And the answer to that question is, well, of course you don't. How could you? That was the point of God giving you a local church with local pastors so you could know them and they know you. And by the way, is John MacArthur going to respond to an email when you write him? I don't think so. And you know, let me tell you the story of a guy who a lot of you would know the name. I will not mention his name. Not because he's a terrible, awful guy. But anyway, this guy was out on the West Coast, a young man, probably he's about 45 right now. Probably started this church when he was about 25, excuse me. And it grew to 10,000 coming every single week. And then they had satellites all over, up and down the West Coast. And about 4 years ago, four or five, somebody gave me a book by this individual. He's a pretty solid guy, a pretty solid theology. So they gave me the book. And they asked me, they said, Mark, would you read it? I said, okay, I'll read it. I heard the guy's name. I never heard him speak or anything like that. So I read the book. I had not gotten through the first chapter. Now, this is the truth. But I stepped back from the book, and I just wrote in the side margin. I said, this guy is abrasive. This guy is harsh. Now, here's what I mean. He was, in his own words, he wrote it. He's describing how he treated people. I was stunned. 1.5 years ago, all of his elders, about 16 of them, came to him and said, we've tried and we've tried and we've tried. You bully the staff. You're harsh on people. You got to go. Whole ministry fell apart. Thousands of people disillusioned. Do you know the man? You don't. And then they crash and crumble. Let me tell you something very important. It's not about what you know, but it's about what you do with what you know. And it's about the quality of your life. For a pastor, the quality of his life in that home is really important. You moms and dads, you want to pass on faith to your children? How you live at home, how you treat one another, the reality of Christ in your life, that's what matters. That's what matters. And I could care less if you know what the Torah means and what all this means and what all the sacrifices mean. And you got your eschatology. Do you have your livology down? Eschatology is the end times. Do you have your livology down? Do you know what it means to have self-control with your words? Do you know what it means to create a loving, kind environment in your home where people can actually grow, where children thrive, where a marriage thrives? Do you know? That's what's in this book. I want to show you a few psalms, Psalm 119, and then we're going to close. But it's very important, brothers and sisters, listen. I think there are a lot of really wonderful, godly men out there who have a lot of good things to say. But I always want you to be very, very careful with what you hear, and careful when you don't know the person. You don't know them. You don't get to see them up close and up personal. So you might be able to benefit, no problem, from the gifts that God has given them or for some understanding, but be very, very careful. I'll never forget, I was flying back one time from Honduras. I was in Honduras. And unbeknownst to me, there was a young man from my church in the three seats back. This young man was a little bit argumentative. That's just the way he was. So I'd been over there after Hurricane Mitch. It was an intense 3 weeks, and I was kind of tired. And lo and behold, as the plane gets up, he kind of creeps up and taps me on the shoulder and wanted to visit. And I admit, at the time, I just kind of wanted to sleep. I thought, okay, Lord, want me to visit? So he said, Mark, have you ever heard of blah, 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 radio preacher guy? I said, I haven't. He goes, oh, man, you ought to hear this guy. He said, I listen to him. I mean, I've got all of his messages. I got about 1,000 of them. I said, really? So then he started asking me a question. I couldn't help myself. Just get up, bear with me. Sometimes, like Jesus, you have to say things that kind of wake people up a little bit. Not mean, they just kind of wake them up. So I said, well, you know, maybe you ought to call him. And he looked at me and said, well, why? I said, because he's the one, your body's in my church, but I'm not your shepherd. The guy you just listened to 1,000 messages, that's the guy you're letting shepherd you. So maybe you ought to call him. See, you got to be careful who's shepherding your soul. Did you know in Hebrews? In Hebrews, I have to give an account for you to God. And it ain't going to be Mark Driscoll. It ain't going to be John Piper. It ain't going to be Francis Chan. I got to give an account for your soul to God because we keep watch over you. You would not believe, so many of you, you know, walk by me. I remember your names. I put up, pray for you every morning. He's not praying for you. So learn from others, but always remember, always keep it in perspective. We want to have a hunger to learn, but you want to make sure not only is it accurate, but is anybody living this stuff? Is anybody living it? Psalm 119. And then we'll close. Happy are those who obey his decree and search for him with all their heart. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his path. When I learn your righteous decrees, I will thank you by living as I should. There's that connection, see? When I learn them, I will live them. When I learn them, I will live them. I don't know if you realize this, but there's a movement here in the city, I won't name them, and there's a movement across this country of what I would call emotional Christianity. It's just emotion. It's just, oh, I just feel so good. Oh, what did God tell me in my dreams? Oh, what? Oh, I'm just going to open my mind. Just listen. Oh, yeah, oh, a dream. I care less about a dream. What's the Word of God say? What's the book say? What's God's Spirit speaking to you through the Word of God? And then are you living it? Then are you going after it? That's where this is. I'm an emotional guy. I got nothing wrong with emotions as long as they're based in truth. As long as they're based in the reality of God working in your life, this is the most wonderful thing in the world. But we want to make sure it's sound. We want to make sure we're listening to God's word. I am but a foreigner here on earth. I need the guidance of your commands. Do not hide them from me. Now listen to this verse. I am overwhelmed continually with the desire for your law. I'd call that kind of hungry. I'm overwhelmed with desire. Have you ever thought about that? You know, I'll talk about something we can probably all relate to. Have you ever felt overwhelmed with the desire for Chipotle? You just cannot wait. You know, guys, I know how that is, man. It's like just, oh, I got to have some of that smoke seasoning, Tabasco on that carnita with my black bean. Oh, can you just savor it right now? And the smell, the aroma, sometimes you can be overwhelmed. Listen, we'll talk about something not so good. Some of you remember when you were dealing with alcohol, how you were just overwhelmed. You're at work and you could hardly concentrate because you're overwhelmed with this desire. Just give me a drink. Get your soul to that place with God. Get your heart to that place with God. Like, Lord, I'm looking forward to Friday. Lord, I'm looking forward to getting up and being with you. Lord, I like talking to you. You know that's possible? It's possible. Listen, I used to be a foolish man. Let me share this verse with you. This really cool verse. We'll close on this concept. I got to pull my sheet out because I copied it. This is Proverbs 24, 13 and 14. Now listen really carefully to this. My son, honey whets the appetite, and so does wisdom. When you enjoy becoming wise, there is hope for you. A bright future lies ahead. Do you enjoy becoming wise? Do you enjoy it? There was a time in my life, and I'll give you a silly analogy. There was a time in my life, for a long time actually, I would say, this is the truth, I enjoyed junk food. I enjoyed Mountain Dew. I enjoyed Hostess Twinkies. When I was a little kid, I'm the oldest of six kids. And so I had a job when I was about eight. And from then on, I just always had jobs. So I always had money. And so we lived, you know, in those days, you didn't have these little convenience stores. You had some guy who opened up a little store with one gas pump in front of it. And it was about two blocks away. And every Saturday morning, I would send my little brothers. They thought I was being really kind to them, but they were my little slaves. And they were cheap. They were cheap labor, see? Because stuff was cheap back then. So I'd give them a quarter, and they'd go get me 75 cents worth of stuff. A bag of Highland barbecue potato chips, Hostess Twinkies, one of those drumsticks with the nuts all on top, you know, and Fanta Red Pop. I had that every Saturday morning. When I used to be a machinist, every single morning, I had a maple Long John and a can of Mountain Dew. And then it started cutting a hole in my stomach so bad I would lay down on the floor and cry in pain and then drink another one the next morning. That's really bad, isn't it? That's so stupid. Now listen. This is the truth. I love eating healthy. I love it. I enjoy it. I eat the same thing every day and I have for about the last 10 years. I just love it. I love being fit. I don't want to kill myself. I'm trying to do a tough mutter. Don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself, you weekend warriors, and you're going to pay a price. I love it. I love righteousness. I love living in an upright way with my wife. It doesn't mean I always succeed, but I love it. I love striving after it. I love it. I love loving people. I used to love loving me. That's what my whole life, just loving me. And then I learned, wow, it's better to give than to receive. I love to give. I love to love. And I love to love God. I learned to love to pray. I didn't used to like that. And now it's like, it's part of my life. It's like breathing. I have to do it. I like getting up in the morning and taking a nice warm shower. I don't know about you, but I like it. I like brushing my teeth, get all the gunk off my mouth. I like it. I like fixing my hair. I like cutting my own hair every 7 days. It always looks just perfect to me. May not to you, but to me, cool. It's always cool. Somebody asked me, Mark, what's it with the leather coat? I enjoy it. What do you think? If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't wear it. I enjoy leather. I hate plastic. I'm so tired of plastic. I like leather. Do you realize it's possible to actually live that way with almost everything? See, you got the wrong impression about Christianity. Being wise is really cool. Being stupid, it's really dumb. And it gets really painful. It gets really painful. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. You said, if any man or woman lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men without reproach, but let him not vacillate. Go back and forth. One day you want it, one day you don't. For you will not honor the double-minded man. Oh, God, I pray you'd help us all realize, all of us, our birthright is to enjoy the living God. Our birthright, when we enjoy becoming wise, there is hope for us and a bright future lies ahead. There is no joy in being stupid. There is no joy in being a fool. There is no joy in turning from God. I pray, Lord, you help us to understand that it is not legalistic to want to learn and grow. It is actually the response of a humble heart that loves God. Pour out your grace on us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.